All right, turn and just say hi to someone next to you. Say, I'm glad you're here. Good. I love hearing that. Love hearing the conversations there. All right. Now, I want you to say this with me. Say, simple truth, big hope. All right, simple truth, big hope. Jesus used familiar things to plant such great hope in people, didn't he? He just used these simple things and just put hope in people's hearts. What a privilege to hear the things that Jesus taught. You know, he's not just some historical figure that we remember, but we have his teachings. And I believe that this next passage in the Gospel of Mark, this next passage of Scripture, might be one of the greatest things that Jesus ever taught, okay? Now, check this out. We got this beautiful fruit here, right? Doesn't this look good? I think I should actually eat this thing, right? Maybe I should start eating this instead of all the Chick-fil-A I eat. I think I'd be feeling better. But let's just break that open. Oh, see, I did that there. And what's inside this thing? We know it is a seed. We'll just put that right there and hopefully it doesn't roll off. All right? We've got a seed. All right? Now, you probably can't even hardly see that from back there. All right? This tiny little thing. But this is something Jesus used as a teaching tool. This little thing. I love it. He was very creative. He is very creative, isn't he? And we know that as insignificant as this might look on the outside, we know that there's something amazing hidden within, right? It doesn't even look like anything could be hidden inside this small little thing. And so if I asked you, you know, hey, why don't you describe this seed for me? You could just look at the outer shell of it. You could look at the outer appearance, the surface of it, and you could say, well, that's pretty tiny, right? And you could say, you know, it's not much to look at. You know, it's just a dead seed. Actually, it's not dead. It's actually dormant, which is a very different thing than dead, right? And there's not really much to work with there. I don't even know if that's worth my time. Next question, okay? You could view it just like that, or you could say, wow, you know, I see so much more. There's actually a baby plant inside that little thing that you can hardly see from the back row. Can you even see that? You're just like, you're just giving me that. What is this sign I'm doing? Like the A-OK? You're like, you're just doing an A-OK. There's no seed in your hand. There is a seed in here, right? You could say, you know, I see something that can come alive in this. I see the potential for growth. I see a food source. I see nutrients, right? I see the potential of this seed growing into something magnificent. You can see something magnificent in something that looks so inadequate and meaningless on the outside. If you have ears to hear, and if you have eyes to see. Now we'll put this down and see if I don't lose it. I brought two just in case I flick one off the podium here. Okay, you got to be prepared for these things. All right, let's go into Mark chapter 4. That's where we're at in the Gospel of Mark, starting in verse 1. Here we go. I'll give you just a second to get there. What a powerful teaching. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. And he taught them many things by parables. And in his teaching, he said, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. And some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But then when the sun came up and the plants were scorched, right? And they withered because they had no root. Another seed, they fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, and some 100 times. And then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." There's something more that he's saying here. Right up front, we learn that Jesus taught almost everything in parables, which is basically truth hidden inside something so familiar to daily life that you could easily just look right past it if you didn't put any time into it. But to see it and to understand what he's talking about, you have to put on a different set of ears and put in a different set of eyes, and you have to see beyond what is right in front of you. You have to see the spiritual application to what Jesus is talking about. And so, the imagery of a farmer sowing seeds filled the minds of those listening, and I can imagine them looking at one another going, what is he talking about? Are we at like some farm expo here, right? Are we like investing in like the world food supply here? What's going on? What are we doing? People aren't exactly seeing the deeper meaning in what Jesus is saying. And by the way, neither were his disciples. They were really no better than any person out there on the shoreline listening, right? In fact, in verse 10, here's what it says. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables, right? And other gospels here that you can look at say they asked him what it meant. They didn't know what he was talking about. And so Jesus tells them, listen. Listen, there's a secret here, right? There is a secret in this hidden from people's eyes, right? Verse 11, he told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables. So that, now listen, this is crazy, all right? They may be ever seeing, but never perceiving, and ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. Okay, wow. So you're saying something they don't understand, and you know you're doing this. That's crazy. Now, this portion of scripture right here, this is a major hint right up front. Right before Jesus tells us anything about this parable, let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen a movie where the beginning of the movie is the end of the movie? Have you seen a movie like that? Yeah, you guys? You seen some movies like that? And then the rest of the movie is all about how we got here. Right? Do you know what that's called in movie land? Anybody know? Just checking. It's called reverse chronology. I'm learning these things too as I go every week. Reverse chronology, right? It's a style of movie. But even though the answer, right, the answer's right in front of you, but you don't really know it until you've watched the whole thing. So it's there, but you don't know it's there, but it's right there. Okay? Nobody really knows what Jesus is talking about yet. But he gives the answer. He gives it to us. Nobody understands the end and how we're going to get there, But the fruit of the seed, right, of all this talk and all this talk about farming, the fruit of it all will be forgiveness to all who listen. Right, if they would have listened, he would forgive them. And if we truly understand what Jesus is saying, this is where we have to end. This is where we have to end the story. It has to end in turning and being forgiven. Ending the story in any other place is the wrong interpretation of this story. That is what the seed is meant to produce. This is important. He said that the difference between insiders and outsiders is one thing. It's the understanding of spiritual truth. Looking for the spiritual truth. We as followers of Christ are being pointed in the direction of spiritual maturity by Jesus. But we have to have the eyes to see it. And we have to have the ears to hear it. We have to want those things. Now, it sounds a little crazy, right? For Jesus to say, I'm talking to these people, and I'm talking to them so that they don't understand. That doesn't make sense. But if you look in some of the other Gospels, right, we get a little bit more insight into this story, especially in Matthew's Gospel, which is a huge help, where Matthew records the same parable and the same story. But he tells us what's really happening here is a fulfillment of prophecy from Isaiah. In fact, what Jesus has just said, right, is actually a quote. He's quoting Isaiah, right? He's not actually saying, I don't want these people to understand me. He's just quoting prophecy. And I'm going to read it for you. So listen, Matthew's account, Matthew chapter 13, it says this, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Why? Why does Jesus teach things that people don't understand? It tells us in Matthew 13, it says this, for this people's hearts have become calloused, and they hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with ears, understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. He's talking about something Isaiah said. The truth is that the people listening were calloused. They were hardened in their hearing of the truth. And it wasn't producing what it was intended to produce. And we know what that is. It was intended to produce forgiveness. Right? The truth is out there for the world to see, yet many times people will simply close their eyes and pretend that the truth is not there. And so here Jesus is, and he's scattering seeds to all types of listeners, all types of people hearing the same gospel. Some with calloused hearts. Now, it's time for Jesus to ask a question. The disciples asked a question, now it's time for Jesus to ask. Which might be one of the most important questions in the Bible that Jesus ever asked. Verse 13, then Jesus said to them, he said, don't you understand this parable? Don't you get it? How come you don't get it? Right? How then will you understand any parable? How will you understand any parable if you don't understand this parable? Now, maybe, just maybe the problem isn't Jesus and how he's teaching. Maybe Jesus is challenging his disciples to become better listeners, right? Listen with your spiritual eyes and your spiritual heart and your ears. And I would certainly want to listen more carefully when I hear Jesus say that this parable is the key to understanding all the other parables. That's pretty crazy. I mean, is this true? Am I interpreting that right? Let's check this out. Right? And so I'm really glad that we have his own interpretation so we can take a lot of the guesswork out of it, right? Generally, the parables have one meaning and a critical point that you're trying to get to, right? But this parable has significance throughout the whole thing, and we call that allegory. There's a number of parables throughout the Bible, but only a few where Jesus himself gives us his own interpretation. So it's comforting to know that he would say, this one is key to our understanding. Verse 14. All right, now what's going on with all this calloused heart stuff and closed eyes? And what do we need to understand? Verse 14. He tells us what it means. The farmer sows the word. And some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes, takes away the word that was sown in them. And others are like seed sown on rocky places. They hear the word, and once they receive it, and at once they receive it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. And when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, right, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, they hear the word, but then the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. And others, like seed sown on good soil, they hear the word, they accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. Now, what is the farmer sowing? Okay, Jesus tells us. What is it? The word. The word. So the seed to life, producing anything lasting for the kingdom of God, where can you find it? It's the word. The word of God is that seed. Boy, there's a lot of potential in the word of God. It's truth. That's what we call it, right? It is the truth. It is the real truth, right? If we're talking about the word being like seed, right, then we know with our spiritual eyes how much potential there is and how much this word, God's word, the Bible, can change your life. But how does it do that, all right? People, verse 15, people. People are like seed. Are they also seed? People are like seed? No, they're like seed along a path where the word is sown. So are people seed? No, the word comes in contact with people. That's what we're talking about. And when that contact is made, boy, we have potential for huge life change. Right? But we will never have the huge life change unless seed meets soil. We won't have that. Your life will consist of you and God's word interacting on the path of life. That's what this is about. You and God's word constantly meeting at the crossroads of life, facing God's word, facing the seed, his truth that he puts out there. But what will happen when God's word and your life touch every day or on a weekly basis? Or maybe even you're trying to run away from the word, but it's over there too, so it doesn't matter which way you go. Right? It's like Jonah trying to escape, right? You're going to run into God's word, and you're going to interact with it in some way. What happens when God's word touches your life? All right, there's a few things that can happen. And Jesus is telling us this. Number one, absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Some people interact with God's word. They encounter God's word. It touches their lives, but they don't buy it. They don't receive it. It's just religion to them. They say it doesn't work. Right? As they hear it, Satan comes and just takes away the word. Right? And the seed only remains a seed. The seed only remains a seed in so many lives. How many people have heard the gospel but haven't done anything with it? Seed is still just a seed. A seed has to do what a seed was designed to do. It has to be planted. It must be planted, right? It has to be cared for. It has to be nurtured. But in this case, with these people, it's stolen away before anything can even happen. And if that's you today, and that's how you feel, Jesus says, you're just dealing with the birds. You're just dealing with the birds in life. All these things that want to come, there are things that want to come and steal the seed from you. It's the birds. This is Satan attacking your life. It's easy. Maybe it's easy for him to steal it away from you. You don't accept it. The word is just laying on the ground around your life, and it's constantly being picked off by the enemy, right? And so it doesn't have a chance to take root, okay? So the first thing that can happen is absolutely nothing. Did you ever think that you could encounter God's word and absolutely nothing could happen? That's true. It may do nothing in you. It's got to be planted. All right, the second thing, it can die quickly. Okay? It can die very quickly. Some people, you know, come to church. They come to the altar. I've even had people come here and sign a membership application and say, I'm committed. And then 3 weeks later, I never see them again. Where'd they go? Right? I mean, that's what I'm talking about. That's what happens, right? Others, like seed sown on rocky places, they hear the word, and at once they're just like, oh, this is awesome, right? They receive it with joy, but they don't have any root. And they last just a short time, and trouble or persecution comes because of what? The word. Let me tell you something right now. If you receive the word, if you receive the word of God in your heart and you commit to it, I guarantee you trouble and persecution will come because of it. It's going to happen. But people, trouble and persecution comes and they quickly fall away. Right now, if that's you today, if you're maybe you're struggling with not being consistent. Maybe you want to give up or you know, you want to walk away, and maybe one day you're thinking about it and you're excited about it. You know, maybe even here at church and you're singing these beautiful songs that we sing every week and it kind of excites you, but then the next day you go home and there's like no joy. You know, and you're just kind of living in that, you know, crashing waves, ups and downs, and you want to quit. The initial excitement doesn't last. Jesus has something to say to you too. He's just saying, look, you're just dealing with the stones. You're just dealing with stones. That's what's going on in your life. Stones are the idea that faith is going to come super easy. It's just, boom, I'm going to be a strong Christian overnight. That's dealing with stones. The person who says, I'm going to be a strong Christian overnight is exactly the person who I'm not going to see in 3 weeks. It's true. It's true. And that's why I love all of you, because you guys are here. Look at you. I don't see a lot of stones out there. Yeah. Amen. Amen. hardship comes at us. Sometimes we don't recognize the hard work or maybe the patience that's going to go into the harvest. And so we rush in quickly to things. We rush out just as quickly. We don't give it enough thought. What is it that takes us away? Hardship. We say, this isn't what we signed up for. It's too hard. And so your Christian walk is like a run. It's a Christian run. And the next day it's a Christian walk, and then the next day it's a Christian crawl, and then the next day it's a Christian nap. Right? And then you're like, I'm done, right? I think I need a nap this afternoon, honestly. Okay, the third thing. All right, so the first thing, when you encounter the word, what could happen? Absolutely nothing. The second thing, it could die very quickly. The third thing, it can be choked. Choked out. All right, still others, like seed sown among thorns, they hear the word, but the worries of life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in, and they choke the word, making it unfruitful, right? Now, here, other things in our lives are encroaching upon what we want to produce, right? And we even want to produce what we should want to produce in this scenario. We have, like, the greatest intentions. We even know, like, somewhat what it should look like in our lives, right? We're on track. We realize, we see the seed. We realize the value of the seed. We know that it's good. But here's the problem. We tend to hold on to all the other things, too. All the other things are getting rooted as well. And those things start to sap all the energy right out of our soil. And so it's as if the gospel is just being choked in your life. Oh, Jesus, I'm trying to be strong. But all these other things, right? That's the whole idea. And here's what Jesus would say to us. All right? You're just dealing with the thorns. You're just dealing with the thorns of life. They're all over the place. You're going to get caught up in a few of them, okay? But recognize it. And he's clear here about what types of things the thorns are. What types of things are trying to choke the gospel, the word, out of your life? See the attack here? Satan wants the gospel out of your life. And here's the things. Worries. Just being worried about everything. You know, we sang a song today. God, he provides everything. My God, how do the words go? Somebody say it. My Father has it. My Father has it. He will provide. He will provide. I love that song. It's a great song for us all to sing. My Father has it. But we worry that he doesn't have it. The wealth of life. Oh, man, I want that. Right? Other desires. In life and all sorts of other things, these are the very things that are choking the word out of our lives. And I think that this one here is probably the most sad because things have actually grown a little bit in this scenario, right? The enemy knows that you actually have something planted in your heart. Something's actually starting to grow. And since he can't, you know, it's a little too much to uproot real easy. So he simply tries to just fill your life with distractions, as many as possible. And although the seed has been planted, and although the word is present, it doesn't bear the fruit. And then we have the fourth and final thing, and that is production, multiplication. This is what could happen with the word in your life. This is what was intended. God's purpose is in this scenario. His purpose for you is right here in this story, that you would produce so many great things in your life for other people, that you would multiply the love of God from generation to generation, really, if you carry this out. That's what's intended. Others, like seed sown in good soil, they hear the word, they accept it, and they produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. Good soil is the only soil that will produce. What is good soil? That's the question, huh? How can I get the good soil? I just want that, right? Well, it's the opposite of all the rest of this stuff. Good soil, number one, accepts the word of God as truth, as the only truth. That's good soil. Right? And in the connection with the truth, the acceptance of that results in the planting of the seed in multiplication. All right. Now, if you carry out Mark chapter 4, which we're not going to read too much of the rest, all right? There are two more parables that follow. And I'll read some of it for you. Both of these parables are about seeds. Okay, so we're talking about lots of seeds. Mark 4, 26, it says, he also said, listen to this, this is what the kingdom of God is like. It's like a man who scatters seeds on the ground, and night and day, whether he sleeps or he gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, and then the head, and then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. Wow, now this one sounds super easy. This one sounds like things just happen overnight, right? I just trust the Lord, and I eat, I sleep, I get through my day, and God just produces stuff. It's amazing. But you might think, I don't really experience that. You might say, I don't see a harvest. But what is this parable assuming? It's assuming good soil. There's good soil in this parable, all right? Let's do the next one. Again, verse 30, he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of the seeds on earth, yet when planted, it grows and it becomes the largest of all garden plants with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. Again, we are assuming good soil in this parable. And we sometimes assume that our little faith is just going to grow into this large, fruitful thing, but often it doesn't seem like it's doing that. And the truth is, because it might be headed in the wrong direction. You might be asking yourself sometimes, you know, why isn't the gospel seem to be working like this in my life? Why isn't church doing it for me? Why haven't I grown, right? I don't feel like I'm very close with Jesus. Sometimes we ask ourselves those questions. What is stopping it from sounding as easy as those two parables? Well, you go back to the key. You go back to the key parable to understand the rest of them. That's what Jesus said. This parable helps you understand all the rest of them. And why things don't seem to be going the way of these wonderful parables, let me give you the key to understanding your own situation out there today. You have to always return to God's word in every situation. And a great place to be is in the parable of the sower. When things aren't going well, and they're not going right, and they're not going the way you want them to go, and you got to start asking yourself these questions. Is the seed just getting stolen away every week after I hear a good sermon, right? Is it just being stolen? Do I have too many distractions? Am I expecting the seed of God's word to just take off without feeding it much? Do I have too many worries and cares that I'm just simply allowing to overtake my faith and overtake my time in God's word? Have I cultivated good soil for the seed to grow in? All great questions to ask yourself as you read through the parable of the sower. See, we need good soil for the seed to grow. And we need more than just today. We need so much more than today. Today is not enough. Being in here and hearing this is not enough water for your soul. I wish I was that good, that I just could preach a sermon, you guys are just like, bow, and you're just good all week long. But I'm not that good. I'm not even close to that good. Nothing in me is. It's all the Lord. It's all the Holy Spirit working in your life. And Paul said this. He said, you know what? Some people plant seeds and some people water seeds. But what? It's God who makes the whole thing grow in our lives. Amen. So when the gospel isn't producing what you hoped it would, I'm just going to encourage you today to check your interactions on the path. All right? Go to the parable of the sower. Ask yourself these questions. Amen? Amen. Every last Sunday of the month, we take a time out and we receive communion together. So I want to give you a little heads up on that. If you've never received communion here at Hope Church, you'll see the tables in each of the corners. In a minute, I'll release you and you can go to each table. By the way, the first person there, please take the lid off and set it aside. Grab the bread and the drink and the cup and just come back to your seat. And you guys can spend time with the Lord there, get together, pray with one another. I encourage you to do that. Before we do, let's get back to where we started. Right? The reverse chronology, right? If people understood all this, what would ultimately be produced in them is repentance and forgiveness. If the seed takes full root in your heart and it grows to the magnificent intended tree that God meant for it to be in your life, it would produce repentance and forgiveness. This is the real fruit of life. And it's the real fruit of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And we understand that for a seed to actually produce what it was intended to produce, it has to die. It has to go into the ground. It has to die so that it can reveal what's inside of it. And I can spend my life, you know, shaking this seed and you know, analyzing this seed, and I can learn everything there is to learn about this seed, and maybe I could just eat the seed and put an end to it. Okay? But only a seed in good soil will tell you all of its secrets. Only a seed in good soil will reveal its secrets. And the seed of God's word acts the very same way. If the seed dies, it reveals the power of forgiveness in our lives. And you know what that means? The power of forgiveness, it's not about just life today. The power of forgiveness means life eternally. That's the fruit of this, because God wants us with Him in eternity. And the only way we can do that is if we are forgiven of our sin. And for that to happen, the Word had to die. And it's like John said in John chapter 1. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. Don't let anyone tell you that Jesus Christ is not God. John tells us He was. He is. Then John goes down and he says, and the Word became flesh. God became flesh. And He made His dwelling among us. And we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth, and that word, Jesus Christ, our God and our Savior, came down from heaven in the form of a man. He took on flesh, the flesh of a man, and he died so that life could come from that. Amen. Amen. So we remember today. We remember with communion that he took the cup and he took the bread on the night before he died to give us life. And he shared it with his disciples. And he said, "This is my blood and this is my body and this has all been given for you." Amen. Let's remember that today. You guys are dismissed to receive communion. Amen.